Well, we're in our series in Acts chapter 6, and in this, it didn't take me long looking at this chapter that I realized that when I did a study in this on a Wednesday night, I converted the first seven verses into a church message around about 4 years ago. And so I was thinking I'll just skip the first seven verses and move on to look at Stephen and the first deacons. But I did read over that message and I thought, wow, there's plenty of things I have forgotten that I needed reminding of. And I was thinking maybe you are the same. And so I thought, no, we'll look at this and consider what we have here in these first seven verses. So the title of the message is Potential Dangers for a Growing Church. And I know that we are very far from a mega church, and I don't even consider us a big church. We're quite a small church in reality, but we are a church that has slowly grown over the years, and we can praise the Lord for that. And with all growth brings its own unique problems. I know we have certain problems. Every church does. The only good news is that we see that even the very first church, who had the apostles with them to sort things out, they had problems as well. So tonight we're going to look at some of the problems that are common among churches that we find here in these first seven verses in Acts chapter 6, and hopefully find some solutions as well. So how about we pray first? Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for a lovely day. Praise you for this morning and for that time in regards to our Sunday school. And Lord, for us tonight, as we open up your word, have a look at that very first church and where it all began and see things that unfolded there. And Lord, how man's heart is very similar. And Lord, the same problems they had, we often have. And I pray that we will learn from this, because we know that you have left us this record for this very purpose. So we ask for the Spirit of God to be our teacher tonight and to lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we actually look at the verses here in Acts chapter 6, I want us to have a proper understanding of how big the church had become by this time in the book of Acts. Before Pentecost, the disciples numbered around about 120 when they were gathered there in that upper room. And that itself is a pretty big church, 120. But that was only the beginning. If you turn back to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we read, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel to them, and it says there in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So now the church has increased greatly. It's gone from 120 to around about 3,000. That's a very big church. But then if we turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, we read that there were more people that came to know the Lord. After the preaching of the gospel, in verse 4, it says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And so now we have a church that is well into the 8,000 mark when it comes to the size. And so that's a lot of people. And one thing you can be very sure of is the more people, the more problems. That's how it goes. Some people are foolish enough to think that the bigger the church, the happier you're going to be and the better things will be. In my experience, that's the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, often it's the opposite. The bigger the church, the more problems they have. There are more personalities in the mix. And so you're blended with lots more personalities. More people means there's a lot more opinions, people sharing their opinion. When there's only five in a church, you're only going to have five opinions at least. if you've got 5,000 in a church, there's 5,000 opinions, and it just grows. And it means more people can get upset because there's more people in the church to speak out of line or act in a way that will hurt others. And so the common theme is the more people in a church, the more problems. And as we read this account in Acts chapter 6, we see this was the case in the very first church. We know when Jesus only had those 12 disciples, there were arguments, there were problems just with 12. Now, we're not told if there were too many problems when there was 120, but I suspect there were. But now, a few months later, there's over 8,000 believers, and so we can be sure there were problems. More people will always mean more problems. And that's something that we should be aware of in our church as well. Be on the lookout. Yes, over time, the Lord's blessed us, and people have come. Our church has grown. It's been slow, but yes, it has grown. But be aware that as it grows, there will be more problems. And so let's see what unfolds here in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. We read, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied," and it certainly was, "there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor," I think his name would be, "and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Now, I guess at first glance, the predicament that appears here in these first couple of verses in chapter 6 is quite trivial or minor compared to what unfolded with Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that was serious stuff. But as we know, anything little can become large when it's not dealt with properly. The Word of God tells us, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, a little leaveneth the whole lot. And so just because something seems little, it doesn't mean it can't become a big problem. And as you look at this, and as I saw these first few verses, we see that there were a few problems here in this church. That is a danger for any church that is growing. First thing we see here was that people were playing favourites with particular groups of people. And that can become a problem in a growing church. We see this in verse 1. "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multitude, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews." Why? Because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. You know, we know that playing favourites is certainly not right. We're not to favour some more than others. We're not to give extra benefits to one group, and then others miss out on those same benefits. We know the Lord is no respecter of persons. He judges and he treats people on their own merit. But as we see here, playing favourites has been around from the very beginning of the local church. And we find here in chapter 6 that some widows in the early church were not being treated the same as others. You know, we're told if you turn back to Acts chapter 4, if you look back there in Acts chapter 4 in verse 34, we see there, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so the apostles gave to those in need from this money that had been given to them. And one of the main benefactors of this obviously would have been the widows who were among them who were unable to support themselves. But the Greek widows, it appears, weren't being treated the same as the Hebrew widows. And so the Greeks who were among them started to murmur because of this. Now, to just give you a little bit of a background so you can understand why there was a mixture of Greeks and Hebrews there. Really, they were all Jews at this time. That's how the church began, with the Jewish people. The Gentiles hadn't really been reached by this stage. But there were two types of Jews there in Palestine at that time. Jews who were raised in Palestine and they spoke Aramaic. But then there are also Jews who had been raised outside of Palestine, and most of them spoke Greek and maybe had Aramaic as their second language. Now, there was a lot of animosity there between these two groups of Jews. There was the true Jew who was raised in Palestine and they spoke Aramaic. And then there were these foreigners, so to speak, who had come from out of Palestine. Yes, they were Jews, but they spoke Greek predominantly. And there was a lot of antagonism between these two well before the church had started. And so once they got saved, it appears that this same feeling or animosity was still there. It should have been completely gone. They should have been one in Christ, yet it was still there to some degree. And it appears that some were playing favourites, showing more care for the Hebrew Jews than the Greek-speaking Jews. And some felt that this wasn't right, and it wasn't if it was actually truly happening. And so, that was a problem in a growing church, playing favourites. And now, I don't believe that we have this exact problem. We do have a few widows amongst us, but I don't think that we base our care for them on their ethnic background. I don't think that happens at all. And we don't distribute money to widows in the way that they did back then. We have a wonderful country and a lovely place where the government helps provide for these things. But as a church grows, we can still be guilty of playing favourites to some more than others. It may not be on their race, but it could be on something else. It may be showing favouritism to those who have a particular personality, or maybe a particular lifestyle, maybe particular convictions. It could be simply that you favour those who you are used to, those who have been here for a long time, as opposed to those who haven't been here for a very long time. We can still fall into the trap, as these Christians in the first church did, where some get treated better than others. Now, when you've got a small church, it's really hard to hide favoritism. Just say there's 10 in a church, and you just want to show all your attention to a couple of people, that's going to be noticed. And so you generally wouldn't do it, because it'd be noticed so easily. But if there's 100 people, or 1,000 people, well then you can get away with showing all your attention to just a couple of people, and ignoring those you don't really want to spend time with. The bigger the church gets, the easier it is to show favoritism. We need to make sure that we don't pick and choose who we want to show the love of Christ to. And as the church grows, different people will come with different backgrounds, with different personalities, with different opinions. We need to make sure that we show the love of Christ and we're no respecter of persons, regardless of these things. And so that could be a problem. I do know this is a problem in our church at times. We can stick to our little groups or stick to those who we feel comfortable with and we ignore others. We need to be careful that that doesn't happen. And as I said, the bigger the church gets, the easier it is to do that. So we need to guard ourselves against that. So that's the first potential problem. Second potential problem is people can get missed. You know, in the church here at Jerusalem, quite possibly not all who had the responsibility of distributing the food and helping the widows were playing favourites. Quite possibly some just got missed. And I'm suspecting the Greek widows were feeling rather sensitive about being rejected, and so they may have responded in a way that they thought they were being favouritism was being shown. You know, there were only five widows there in that church, and the two Greek ladies were being rejected and missed, and everything was being endowed on the three Hebrew ladies. Well, then you can say, yes, they were definitely playing favourites. But we're not told how many widows were involved here. Just say there was a 50. Just say there was 100. There could quite easily have been some that were simply missed. And the fact is, the more people you have in a church, the easier it is to miss some people. Miss their needs and miss helping them when you should. Now, I'm well aware of my shortcomings in this area. I wish I was highly gifted in being totally organised and knowing exactly what's happening and making sure no one's missed. But I know I have shortcomings in this area and I ask you to forgive me for that. But we all as a church need to be aware that the bigger the church gets, the more needs there are and the more that each one of us needs to serve one another in helping one another when we see a need. And personally, I believe that just because the pastor may not be the one that shows care and help when you need it, that doesn't mean you're being neglected. You know, when I see someone looking after somebody else, I take that as the prompting of God to help that person in a way that helps share the load. And so I think, well, there's no need because God is using someone else to look after that person. And that's the way it should happen. It is spread out. And we help each other in those times of need. And there is another flip side to this, and that is if you do feel as though you've been missed, you're not cared for like others, well then you need to make sure you don't use that as a root of bitterness to destroy your own life. You know, Satan will take advantage of those negative thoughts. You know, and then this little problem becomes a big problem. And we see that this must have been happening. Either there was favoritism or people were just being missed because of the size. But what happened was there was murmuring. Murmuring can become a problem in a growing church. As it says there in verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. A complaining amongst them. So even in the very early church, there was murmuring. They were complaining. Here we see about the leadership. They were expressing their displeasure, their disappointment in the apostles. I can't believe the apostles missed these ones. I can't believe the apostles aren't helping these ones. I can't believe that the apostles didn't realize this. There was a murmuring about the leadership there. Now, we know that we're commanded not to murmur. The Lord explains or shows us in his word how he deals quite severely with those who murmur against the Lord or murmur against those who he's placed in leadership over them. But that doesn't seem to stop us, does it? We seem to so easily murmur. Why? Well, we see why. It always comes down to we're not happy about something. Here, they murmured because they weren't happy with some widows being missed. But there's a whole gamut of reasons why people can murmur. But generally, it comes down to this one thing: you're not happy about something. If you murmur when you're happy about something, you have real problems, all right? You know, that is serious problems. You're happy and you still complain. But generally, it is you're not happy about something, and so you murmur. Murmuring is our default setting. If you just let yourself go and do what comes naturally, when you're now happy, you will murmur. It is only if we override our murmuring will we not do so. It is the spirit-led person who is aware of the fleshly attitude of murmuring and doesn't want to go there who will not murmur. If you just do as you please and you are not spirit-led, you will murmur whenever you're not happy. It starts at the very beginning, when you're a child and you can't get your own way, you complain about mum or dad, or about mum, your brothers and sisters, or the teachers at school. As you become a teenager, the murmuring and the complaining increases. And unless you can see that this is a sinful attitude, that you need the Spirit of God and the work of Christ to do a work in you to change you in this area, well, then you will become an adult and do the very same thing as well. When we're not happy and we are walking in the flesh, our first response will be complaining. Now, the problem with having that attitude in a growing church is there's always going to be something to be unhappy about. You know, as a church grows, things change. And if you're not happy about the changes, you will murmur about them. You know, when a church grows, new problems will arise. And if you're not happy with the problems or you're not happy with the solutions, well, then you'll murmur if you're not spirit-led. The more people we have in a church, the more there are who can say something or do something that upsets you and makes you unhappy, and so thus you murmur. You know, there are millions of reasons why we can murmur. I think sometimes we forget that we don't live in heaven. We think we want perfection in everything, and if there isn't, we murmur. But we don't live in heaven. You get to heaven, then you can expect perfection. But here, you'll never find it. But as the church grows, if people aren't spirit-led but they murmur and there's more things happening, more reasons to make you happy, unhappy, and so there's more murmuring, well then this thing will snowball and destroy a church. If a growing church is not walking in the Spirit but are acting in the flesh, the result will be a snowball of murmuring. And it'll make it a miserable place to be. Now, as we see here, though, sometimes the cause for our murmuring can be legitimate. Other times, they may just be figments of our own imagination. But the fact is, if something is making you unhappy, regardless if it is a legitimate problem or an imaginary problem, the solution is never murmuring. That's what God says. He doesn't say you're never going to have problems. There's never going to be things that make you unhappy. But he says never is the solution murmuring. The solution isn't to fester the problem and then share the problem with others and spread your feelings. No, the solution is to deal with it. And it's good to note, you know, the apostles, when they heard of the murmuring, the problem was presented to them. They didn't dismiss it and say, look, you're being silly. No, they could accept it and they wanted to resolve it. And when there are people who are unhappy in a local church, the wisest thing to do is to talk about the problem and try and come to a solution to fix the problem rather than simply complaining and murmuring. And we see here they dealt with the problem by finding out men who could make sure that this problem didn't happen again. As we see in verses 2 and 3, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so when there was a problem, they dealt with it. That was the solution. And can I just encourage you, if you're not happy with something here, the reality is that's just normal life, for starters. But you can be assured you can either be a part of the solution or you can be a part of the problem, depending on how you respond when you're not happy. If you want to just create a bigger problem, you murmur and fester it and spread it. Or if you want to be a part of the solution, you go and sort it out with those that need to hear about this so they can sort it out. The devil's playground is a mind and mouth full of murmuring. That's a terrible place to be. And we see here that they decided to solve the problem. But this solution that they came up with can often be the source of another problem in a local church. It didn't seem to be in this one, but it often can. You see, imagine if the disciples said, well, look ye out 7 men who can help with this need. And then as they looked out, people would say, how about this person or this person? Everyone said, oh, I can't do it, I'm too busy. And there was no one to help solve the problem. You know, the more a church grows, the more needs there are. And what that means is more people are needed to help. And that can be a problem when people don't want to actually help. You know, the apostles admitted that the church had grown too big for them to do everything. And yes, they admitted things were being missed. And so was the solution, we need to just put in longer hours and work harder? No, the solution was we need to find other men who can take on that responsibility so we can still concentrate on our responsibilities. You know, if when Peter preached at Pentecost, only 3 people got saved instead of 3,000, and then later on when he preached, if only 5 people got saved instead of 5,000, and so there was 8 there in the church rather than 8,000, I suspect that the apostles could have sorted out all those problems and they wouldn't have needed extra help. But the reality is the church grew. And as the church grew, there was a need for more helpers. And that's something that every growing church needs. And it can often be a problem when there aren't people willing to put up their hand to help. And that's something I've discovered over the years. You know, over the years, this church has grown. And I've realised there's more things that need to be done. And so I had to work out, do I do more or do I just let things go or do you get more help? Now, having an assistant pastor certainly does help in that area. But God knows we don't have one at the moment. But when we do grow, the solution is more people need to serve. You know, the deacons serve. Praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for those who teach Sunday school, so I don't have to teach every class. That would be scary and too hard. I'm thankful for those who are willing to serve in one way, in youth group and ladies ministries. I'm thankful for those who play instruments, who will fix up things here in the church, who will cook meals for those who have a need. And these are wonderful things, and I believe as the church has grown, more people have helped in those areas. But if our church continues to grow, well then there will be more needs, and there will be more needs for people to serve. And so, if that is the case, if and when that happens, there will be a need for more helpers. And the solution is, as we see here, look ye out among you, men or women, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There's various things that need to be organised. And that's where we need people to do it. The more people means more needs, means more helpers are needed. If there aren't more helpers, what it means is either people get missed or people get burnt out. And so, as our church grows, we need to guard ourselves against a few things. We need to guard against showing favouritism. We need to endeavour to make sure people aren't being missed. We need to make sure we don't murmur when we're not happy. And we need to be willing to help serve each other. And so, that's what happened in this church, here, this first church in Jerusalem, and I trust that we will learn these lessons as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and I thank you for those who are willing to sacrifice their time to serve you by serving others. And Lord, I pray that you will press upon each heart where and how much they can serve you in this way. Lord, keep us from murmuring about things. Show us where we can help others so they're not missed. And Lord, I pray that we would show our love to each member, not just those we want to. And I pray that, Lord, your name will be glorified in our midst for doing so. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.